Thank you, Pastor Randy, for the introduction, and thank you for the opportunity to teach God's Word tonight. Christmas, like a lot of you guys, for me, it's my favorite time of the year. I look forward to it all throughout the year, so I'm so excited that it's finally here, and I get to celebrate it with you guys tonight. In my house growing up, we always knew Christmas was coming upon us when it was time to go get the family Christmas tree. We lived in Missouri, like Randy said, so it was cold, so we bundled up, and we'd all go outside, we'd get in the family station wagon, and we'd drive way out in the country to this little Christmas tree farm called Tynes. So we'd wander around this Christmas tree farm for about an hour, till we all found the perfect tree. We actually took a vote if that was the tree, so once it was unanimous, we picked that tree. We'd cut it down, we'd take it, throw it on top of the station wagon. We'd go back home, and we'd spend the whole rest of the afternoon decorating it. We'd wrap it with lights. We'd put our homemade Christmas ornaments on it. All the other decorations, the candy canes, the manger down below. This whole afternoon just building towards the end. So later, when it got dark, we'd plug in the Christmas tree, and we'd just behold how incredibly beautiful it was. Great memories doing that as a kid. And those kinds of traditions are great. They can kind of usher in the rest. But really, the whole cause for celebration of the season is Jesus Christ coming. The whole month, there's this building of anticipation from when we start the tree till we're singing about him, we're doing the Christmas songs, we're reading scriptures about him, we're hearing scriptures about him. There's talk all around the town of how Christ came. And then it finally, on Christmas Day, it climaxes with Christ's birth. And when I think about Jesus, I think about all the descriptive titles that we have of him. Titles like the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, the Rock of Ages, the Prince of Peace. And there's many, many more of these. We see those sometimes in church banners. On t-shirts, we sing them in songs. There's one that I particularly love, though. It's his title, The Light of the World. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is teaching in the temple, and he makes the claim, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is a powerful statement. In it, Christ says who he is, what he's going to do. And Jesus wasn't the first to refer to himself as light. We have to kind of look at the whole biblical context. Jesus being light is prophetic. If we go to Matthew, it says, Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, we're talking about John the Baptist, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So in the first section, we see this prophecy being fulfilled, that Jesus would leave Nazareth and he moved to Capernaum, which is in Galilee. Then the second, we have this paraphrase from Isaiah, and this is the chapter that we get, unto us the child is born. When you have time, go read that, because it's all about Jesus Christ. And it says that Jesus would be a great light dawning to those dwelling in the darkness, which was Galilee. It says that the Gentiles were in Galilee. If we were to compare Galilee to modern times, it'd be like the Las Vegas of America and kind of what that represents. This is like where the heathens, where the wicked people lived. Later on in Scripture, somebody even says, Galilee? Is it possible that Jesus was from Galilee? What good has ever come out of Galilee? And then we look in the Gospel of John. He refers to Jesus as light there also. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Talking about John the Baptist again. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. There's a lot of lights there, yeah? He's kind of driving the message home. He's really trying to get this picture of Jesus as this light. In these references, you can feel the anticipation that someone is coming in contrast to the darkness and death that was the past, and a light is dawning, and he's coming for the whole world. So why is light a fitting title for Jesus? Light is connected with God's divine nature. We're going to go back to the beginning and kind of bookend it there, and then we're going to go to the end and bookend it there. In Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says that he spoke the light onto the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and God called it good. It's worth mentioning that God didn't create the sun or the moon or the stars until the fourth day. The reason being, God didn't need to. From God, he can speak it, and light goes forth into the world. And then let's go to the end. In Revelation, after Satan is defeated and the old world, the earth, pass away, it says, as the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. So right before this, God creates a new heaven and a new earth, and then he brings down a holy city from heaven he calls New Jerusalem. That we're going to spend eternity in this city with God dwelling with us, and that he will be the light in that city. And the Lamb, Jesus, would be the lamp. Another example of light as divine in nature. We go to Exodus. Hopefully I'm not spoiling some of this Exodus that Randy's going to get to later. So Moses is on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and he's getting the Ten Commandments from God, and he's bringing them down to Israel there. It says, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Here we see that Moses, just being in the presence of God, which that just, I can't comprehend that yet, God's radiance fell on him to the point that he brought it back with him. It was so powerful that when God's people saw Moses, they were afraid because they saw God coming out of him. So light is connected to divine nature. Light is also there in a physical sense. Light illuminates the path through the hazards of darkness. Again, we'll look at the Exodus. When God's people are fleeing from Pharaoh and they're going to the wilderness, they've got to travel through there to get to where God's taking them. And it says this, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Water break real fast, so think about that for a second. I think Randy's like superhuman because I never see him take a drink up here. All right. So back in my college days, when I had a little more youth in me, I'd spend the summers guiding in Colorado and Wyoming. And I'd take people through the wilderness, up the mountains, and take them rock climbing and rappelling and camping. And the thing I know about the wilderness is that if you don't know where you're going, you're going to get lost, and you might not make it out. The thing about the wilderness, it's so dense, you have no viewpoint to see where you're going. It's so thick, it all looks the same. The only way to get through is to have a path, one that you follow through it, or to have a compass and a map that'll lead you the right way. When hikers get lost, it's often they find them going around in circles because they're just going every which way. So try to picture God's people, a whole multitude of people trying to get through this massive wilderness and have no idea where they're going. The only hope that they had was to follow God as this pillar of light through the wilderness leading them. Let's kind of put a modern day spin on that a little bit. Try to picture our world now without any light. Without light, it'd be pretty much impossible or extremely difficult to do even normal everyday things. How about leaving the parking lot here tonight? Without your headlights on, without any light, how would you even find your way out of the parking lot to be able to get home? If you did, your car would probably be all banged up. I really don't think you'd even get there. How about mowing the yard? Something like that. How would you even see where you need to go next or where you've been in the past? How about washing dishes at home? How would you even know what on the plate you need to scrub off or see the knife in the sink that you're going to cut yourself on? How about picking a spouse? I'm glad I didn't have to pick my spouse in the dark. You can laugh at that one. And happy anniversary, babe. So this time, this day, 3 years ago, I was getting married to my beautiful wife there. That's worth celebrating, yeah? So light illuminates the hazards. The other thing light does, it illuminates spiritually. We have this contrast all throughout the Bible of light being good and darkness representing evil. Job puts it this way. When I hoped for good, evil came. When I waited for light, darkness came. Another way to say that would be, when I hoped for good or light, I got evil and darkness. It's like, I didn't want that one, I wanted this one. Think about the last time, kind of put it in our perspective again. I think it's still true today, this good and evil, light and darkness. The last maybe scary movie that you watched. It's during the day when it's light outside, everything's good. Everybody's happy. There's no trauma. As soon as the lights go out, the darkness comes. That's when, like, the villain comes out, right, to get you. The monsters or maybe, like, the ghosts and things. I know this, that you never want to be a character in a scary movie at night, and you don't want to be alone. The other thing light illuminates spiritually, it reveals evil in a broad way in everyone, and then it reveals sin in our own lives personally. Let's look at Proverbs. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. How often do we find it in our world today that people that are lost, behaving wickedly, they don't even know that what they're doing is wrong. They can't comprehend it. Every time I read Fox News or CNN, I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is so bad. Like, how can people even do that? What I'm hearing is going on. You just can't comprehend it. They're stumbling in their own darkness, and they don't even know. And then let's look at this passage in John. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. I think this is for everybody, yeah? It says, the people that do the wicked things, they don't want it to be revealed in the light because that's when they feel shameful whenever they might face the consequences of what they've been doing. It's true for non-Christians and us alike. Is it easier for us to sin when we don't think anybody's watching? When we're in the closet with our little sin candy, whatever that is, we don't think we're going to get caught. And we don't think about the consequences that it's going to have in our life. But how good is it that the Lord reveals that, that he does reveal that sin so that we can be closer to him. Amen. And then the last thing light does spiritually, it exposes death that's there in the darkness. The psalmist puts it this way, "For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead." There's pretty high stakes in the darkness. We see the word soul, and that's just not our physical being here. The soul is eternal. That's forever. So light exposes that. So what is our real joy this Christmas season? That we don't have to live in darkness and death, but we've received the light of life. And what does Jesus mean by this light of life? He means eternal life with him. Remember that passage in Revelation when we dwell with God and God is the light with us for eternity. Let's look at these other scriptures that help emphasize that a little bit. It says, he has redeemed my soul from going down into the pit, and my life shall look upon the light. And then in Psalms, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Those passages use the same terminology of our soul being saved, and we're looking on the light, and we have life. So in closing, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's preaching the gospel message. If you follow me, I will give you life. As Christians, we can celebrate that. That's our hope. If you're still living in the darkness, now is the time to put your hope in Christ and receive his life. Would you guys pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the great hope that we have in you, Father. You, in your kindness, you sent your Son to come for us, Lord, to do things that are just unfathomable, God, why you would come for us. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy and your great kindness. We thank you that we can hope in life in you, Lord. We ask that you draw us near, Lord, that your Spirit would move in our hearts, Father. Let us always be grateful for what you've done for us. Let us celebrate it in our homes, Lord, in the dark world that we go out to. May you work in us, Lord. May your Spirit speak your truth and your encouragement and your love to others, God. As we celebrate what you've done, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.